Lord, I trust in you this morning, Lord, for who you are, Lord, for what you have done for us, Lord. Lord, and I pray that each and every person here this morning that is sitting in the sound of my voice, Lord, that they have trust in you, Lord, because you are faithful, Lord, because you will never fail us, Lord. You will never forsake us within our life, Lord. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and as Savior, that today would be that day, Lord. Lord, that they would give their lives to you, Lord, and surrender all. Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, God is good this morning. His amazing grace that we sang about, the red letters that we read, them things are just so miraculous in our lives. That we hear the promises and see the promises of God throughout Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that God sent His Son to save us by grace, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty of the law on the cross of Calvary. Folks, in that one place in that in red letters, and it says that, you know, that He took our place, that He took where we belong, where our arms should be stretched forth and hung on that cross. Christ took them for me and you. Folks, that is grace. He gave us something that we did not deserve in our lives. So we are called by grace this morning to come to know Jesus Christ. And us going through the book of Galatians, and we're going to dig deeper into it as we go through the book. You know, we've just kind of been in the introductory, you know, in chapter 1. And I was underlining just the word grace in chapter 1 the other night. And it shows it in three places that he talks about this. And he talks about it in verse 3. And I don't have this on my screen. Just looking at this in God's Word. So if you'll turn to Galatians chapter 1. It says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father and Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, whenever I look at that and think about what God has done, that it just makes me just melt. It just makes me just think about the grace that He has given to me and think about, God, I don't deserve that. And guess what? None of us deserve it. That is why it's called grace. He gave it to us, and He did not ask us to, well, you have to do a certain amount of things or you have to do something in order to be saved. It just has faith in me that we are saved by faith through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. In the second one, it talks about in verse 6, I marvel that you have turned away so soon from God who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He's talking about why it marvels me. It just makes me just wonder, like, why in the world would you take something that God has given to you freely and you want to go and add something to it? God says that I am saving you by grace. And who is that grace? We talked about this last week. Who is that grace? It's Jesus Christ. He is our grace. He is the one who hung on that cross for me and you. He is the one who died for me and you. It is Him that did it all. God sent grace. God sent His Son. And His Son gave us this grace. And then in verse 15 it says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, talking about Paul, and called me through His grace to reveal His Son to me, that I might preach among the Gentiles. We see this miraculous grace that God has given us, just like He has given Paul. Paul, he recognized, Paul recognized that he did not deserve it. And Paul says, Lord, I am a sinner. Why would you ever do this for me? It is because it's grace. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is grace in our life. I pray that you have received that grace in your life and that you stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd been mentioning this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, for a while. You know, so I just put it in our memory verse. You know, that we are saved, or that what the gospel truly is, it's Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is God's Son, that he took your sins upon himself on the cross of Calvary and paid for your sins, and he was buried? If that would have been the end of the story, we would be all here in vain, just useless, like, why are we even here? But the third day, he rose again, victorious over death, conquered death, because he is God, because he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. He can forgive our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, you know, it talks about, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus Christ has done for me and for you. He loves you. So what should we do? We should defend the gospel to the end. We should defend the gospel against compromise. And that's what we see in our world today, is that there are so many people that compromise with the gospel. They say, well, you know, it does say that, but we have to add other things to it. Well, in that day, they said you have to add circumcision. So, well, if you're not circumcised as a male, then you aren't truly saved. We believe you can be saved through Jesus Christ, is what the Jews would tell you, but you still have to be circumcised. And Paul says, no. What is it today? And I listened to a thing on this, and I might step on some toes on this, but some people believe that if you don't speak in tongues and if you don't get baptized, that you're not truly saved. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. According to God's Word, not according to Brother Jimmy, but according to God's Word, that is wrong. And we need to stand upon that, even when people come to us in all areas of life and say, well, you're not saved because you've never spoken in tongues. Find it. Find it for me. We compromise so many times on more than just the gospel, on our Christianity. We compromise and say, well, it's all right. If you want to do that, if you want to have it's all right if you had an adulterous relationship, you know, that's all right. No, it's not. God has truly said that that is wrong in the New Testament, along with the Old Testament. Sexual immorality, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, they're all the same. I know we want to pull out the homosexuality and put it over here and say, well, this sin's worse than the other. It is not. Sin is sin, and sin separates you from a loving God. So what should we do? We should love them. Should we say, well, it's all right, the lifestyle that you're living? No! But let's go over here on this side. And I'm not talking about this side. I'm talking about this side of the world. And we say, you know, someone's sitting in our church and they're having an adulterous relationship with someone else and they are say they're saved, and we look at them and says, oh, but that's just all right. You know, hey, it's fine. We'll forgive you and we'll just come on back. You're in good fellowship. That is not what God's Word says. Boy, you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and you might get a little upset about what things are. Man, it is wrong, sexual immorality. And that is one of the things that he really escalates, or he really talks about a lot. But it's not just that. You know what another one is? Greed. Lying. Well, Brother Jimmy, you're starting to meddle a little bit now. You know, because I don't deal with them other ones, so I don't have a problem with them other ones. And I'm okay, so I don't deal with other people's sin. We are all sinners. We talked about Romans, the Romans Road. You know, I talked about Romans. In Romans, it tells us, you know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who is that? It's me. That's you. We have all fallen short. We have all missed the mark. So we have to make sure that we are defending the gospel by living by the gospel, by living by what Jesus has asked us to do. And it's not a set of rules. It's because we love Him. Because He bestowed His grace upon us, we love Him so much that we desire. Do we have to? No, we want to. We desire to follow after Him. And that's, our world is getting so lost in our thinking that we think that we don't have to follow the things of the church. You know, that the church doesn't matter anymore. That I don't need the church anymore. Folks, that is against what God's Word says. The church needs you and you need the church. We are here as a body of believers that gather here at First Southern Baptist Church in Bearden. Are we all the church? No. The church as a whole is all those who are redeemed in Christ, who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we are here to gather one with one another for encouragement, for building one another up, for crying when another cries, when laughing when another laughs. It's just, we are a family. What kind of family are we? We are of the family of God. That are gathered here. And we have so many that have left, or so many that have fallen away or fallen out. And I just think, like, why would you want to fall out of the church? Why would you not want to join together with your brothers and your sisters in Christ? Why would you not want to come together corporately to worship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This is how we can defend the gospel, by standing together. Is it easier for a group to do something or an individual to stand up for something? It's easier for a group. Man, we are come together to stand up for the gospel. And that's what Paul has done with others around him. He has stood up for the gospel. So let's read through chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And thus occurring because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that we might bring us, or they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcised has been committed to me, been committed to me, as the gospel to the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And then James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that has been given to me, as they, to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that you've given us, Lord, that we're able to come out and gather, Lord. Thank you for your word. Let it draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here, and you know, the first section, you know, in this passage, you know, the persevision, you know, the gospel, you know, that we have to preserve the gospel, you know, the authority of the gospel. He talks about, you know, here in the first two verses, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by what? By revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. So this Paul's visit to Jerusalem shows that why did he go? Because he had authority to go, because he received this message not from someone else. He received it from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul visited Jerusalem to go and to meet with the apostles in order to show them that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. We always know Peter, Paul, James, John, you know, the apostles that are out there that we hear throughout the New Testament that are taking the gospel to the Jews, but we have received Paul. Paul is the apostle to us, to the one who shared the Lord Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. And he did this through revelation, through God giving him what is to say. So why should we preserve the gospel? Why should we not compromise in the gospel? Because it was given to us directly from God. God gave it to Paul, and Paul gave it to us in his word. And we get to read this on a daily basis. You know, Paul was seeking the affirmation, you know, from, you know, the apostles, you know, telling them that they would be on his side and they would be together. And this is something we need to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to get along on the message. Paul was taking the gospel to the Gentiles. The others were taking the gospel to the Jews. And what, a while back, you know, what was they saying? Well, you had to be circumcised. And they were still trying to do this. But Paul was getting them into a place where it says, like, hey, we recognize and we know that this is by grace and grace alone. So he was wanting and desiring to work together. I tell you that we try so hard sometimes, and we're not that bad about it. We're actually pretty good about working together with others, and there are other churches that are not that. Well, you know, I don't know about them down there at the Methodist Church or them down there at the Assembly of God Church. I don't know about them. We can't be working with them. Why? Why? I hate to tell y'all, the Methodist Church preacher is my neighbor that I love dearly. A man of God that loves the Lord and teaches the gospel. of grace. Folks, we are here to work together, and I always was, you know, kind of looked at, or always kind of looked at it in the past as, you know, we just need to do the Baptist thing. We need to do the Baptist thing. And then I got to reading in God's Word where Jesus' disciples came back to him and said, hey, we rebuked these guys that weren't with us, that they were with another group and they were out sharing your gospel, but since they weren't with us, they weren't one of the 12, you know, we rebuked them. And Jesus says, if they're not against me, they're for me. And that changed my whole perspective on denominations. First Assembly is not against us. We are here to work together. As long as they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not preaching the gospel, if you're preaching where you add something to it, you're not with me. But if you're preaching God's word, you're with me. And that's what Paul was, I believe what Paul was wanting to do with the other apostles. They were wanting to come alongside them and them all work together in one as a body to take the gospel to the Jew and the Greek alike, or the Gentile. So we can't compromise with the gospel saying, well, we have to do this or we have to do that. I'm not talking about what I call second and third tier doctrines. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. And I'm not talking about them other things. I'm talking about the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. We read it earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I believe you're with Him. We can differ on some other doctrinal issues, but the gospel is what is the most important. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you holding up the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we working together to make sure that our community is reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Man, God wants to do something, you know, great, but we have to get on board with Him. We have to get on the same page with Him, and we have to stop. Well, your gospel's wrong or your gospel's right. Is the gospel is either right or it's wrong. Let's get together with the people that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's don't work with the ones who do not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we want to make sure that we are not compromising what Jesus Christ is saying about the gospel. I'm not going to go into someone else's church and preach in their pulpit and preach against their second and third tier doctrines. You know what I'm going to preach? I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and who He is. In the second part of that, you know, the integrity of the gospel, verses 3 through 5, he says, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with us. He's telling about Titus. Y'all, does the name Titus ring a bell? Titus sounds familiar, don't it? It's one of the pastoral gospels. You know, we look at Titus, you know, he was not even compelled to be circumcised because that is something that has nothing to do with your salvation. God is wanting to do some circumcision, but a circumcision of the heart. He wants to take in our heart and he wants to make it, you know, where it can be penetrated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is wanting to do something miraculous with integrity, keeping the integrity of the gospel, resistance to false teachings. We do not want to allow false teachings to come within our church. We do not want people to come, as he was talking about, you know, that they had sent in. And if you don't think that people come in to churches to try to buy their way in or build their way in with relationships to get in a classroom and start teaching false doctrines, you're crazy. People do that. And that's what they were coming in by stealth. You know, they were sneaking around. They were trying not to show what they were doing. And they would come in and they would start teaching about the gospel. And they would say, well, yes, you can be saved, but you have to be circumcised. Yes, you can be saved, but you have to be baptized. Or you have to speak in tongues. Or you have to do this. Or you have to do that. You have to, you know, do the things, you know, that I want you to do. The things that the church wants you to do. You have to do these things in order to be saved. And I will tell you that you should do things because you are saved, not to be saved or to keep saved. Because I love our churchy words, our three things of salvation is justification, sanctification, and glorification. Sanctification happens how many times? Or glorification? Justification happens how many times? Once. We are justified before God one time, and that is at the point of salvation. Whenever we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are His. When does sanctification happen? After justification. That's in our growing in our relationship. The more we know Him, the better we know Him, the more we want to do for and with Him. And if you say, well, I don't have a desire to do things for Christ right now, I tell you, you need to get to know Him better. And once you get in His Word and you get to know Him better, your desires and your wants start to change. So we as Christians, we need to know God's Word. We need to be able to stand up or the resistance to false teaching within our churches. And you know, I said this last week. How do you know if it's a false teaching? You've got to know the truth first, don't you? You got to know what the truth is to know when a lie tries to show itself as a truth. Well, the truth is this, because this is what God's Word says. So we seek to have this resistance to false teaching, and we uphold the truth without compromise. I'm standing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His Word. I'm standing on this no matter who's around me, what they say to me, what they do to me. I don't care. I'm standing upon God's Word that Jesus Christ is the only way, and it is through grace that we are saved. Why is it through grace? Because it's through Jesus Christ, because He is our grace. He's the one who came and died for me and for you. So we see that we are upholding the truth against compromise within our lives. So whenever we know the gospel and we are holding to it, we have to proclaim the proclamation of the gospel, the message of the gospel. In verses 6 and 7, he says, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised been committed to me as the gospel to the circumcised was committed to Peter? For he was working effectively in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles." So we see this message of the gospel, you know, that it's God does not show favoritism more to Billy Graham than he does to me. And we say, "Wait a second, Brother Jimmy, what are you talking about? Billy Graham? You know, he was a saint. Guess how Billy Graham was saved? Same way I was saved. Guess what Billy Graham preaches or preached? He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, God does not show favoritism to any man as who's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize the true gospel. And Paul was bringing that true gospel, and Peter was bringing that true gospel. Some that Peter was leading to the Lord, they wanted to stay in their old religion, and they wanted to bring that religion with them. And we say that we can't bring that old religion with you. We have to receive what Christ has given to us. The role of grace is in this message. The grace is for me and you. That He has given it for us in order to be saved. It's given to us in order that we can know the true message of Jesus Christ and we can receive that with gladness. And we have the mission of the gospel in verses 8 through 10. You know, the call to reach the Gentiles and unity and purpose among believers, in which we've already talked about that some. You know, that the gospel was called, the mission of it was to reach us, the Gentiles, to be grafted in to that family of God that we are adopted. Folks, we can do great things with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do great things with the call that has been given to us to reach this lost and dying world. But we need unity in purpose among believers, whether it's among Baptists, whether it's among Methodists, or it's among Assembly. We're here for a purpose, and that is the gospel, to show them who Jesus Christ is. Guess what? I have more in common with some Assembly than I do some other Baptist. Man, Baptist word is just thrown around there like candy. Anyone will put it on their sign. And I'm thinking, man, you ain't a second, third, fourth cousin to a true Baptist that believes what God's Word says. So it's not what's on our sign out there. It's what's in our heart. It's who we are. That we want to live out the gospel in our lives. We have a responsibility to defend the gospel, to stand firm against, you know, being distorted, the gospel being distorted within our lives. So don't fall, and I catch this, and I notice it because I watch YouTube, and I watch a lot of these little shorts videos and stuff, and people get on there and talk, and boy, and they can sound good, but sounding good ain't the truth always. People can try to bring in other things and distort the gospel, and they bring it and they just twist it just a little bit. Just a little bit. We can't twist the gospel any. The gospel is what it is. And we need to encourage accountability within the church, you know, that we are not falling for the things that we see on the internet. I didn't have to worry about that whenever I was a kid. But our kids today do. Because I hear it. Well, Brother Jimmy, how about this that I heard on Facebook, or I heard on TikTok, that's most time where it is, that I heard on TikTok. I said, you got to be careful what you listen to on TikTok or read on Facebook or Instagram or whatever the other ones are. You have to be careful. So how can you be careful? You can know what's in here. And when you know what's in here and someone says something that does not line up, we can say that's not the truth. And as I told someone the other day, don't try to argue someone with someone that you don't know on the internet. You can't argue anyone into doing it. You state what God's word says and you leave it at that. That's all they need, because some people just want to argue. And you can get yourself in a doozy. So any of y'all argue on Facebook or TikTok or that? I hope not. Please don't go making these big posts about this, that, the other. Well, this is why I think this is right. It don't really matter what we think is right. It matters what God's word said is right. So we have to stand upon it. And that's what we say, you know, this is what God's word, end of discussion, end of conversation. Now, I will talk to you more, but I'm not arguing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is what God's word says it is. So we need to stand firm. We need to encourage accountability within our churches, and we have a call to faithfulness in verses 9 and 10. One of them is support the poor and the marginalized and live out the gospel in action. So them two kind of go together. So how do you support the poor and the marginalized? You live out the gospel in action. So when you're living out the gospel of grace, you start helping those around you. You start loving those around you. You start looking at people different than you used to look at them, because the gospel changes you, which is grace. Grace changes everything. I believe it's in Mary, Did You Know? And it might not be in that song, that the Son changes everything. He changed everything. He changed how we come to God. He changed how we are saved. You know, before Jesus Christ, how was people saved? By faith. But how did people think they were saved? By keeping the law. Can you keep the law? No. So what does He tell us in God's Word? If you fail in one point of the law, you have broken the whole law. You have broke the law. If you go down the road speeding and you get pulled over and the officer gives you a ticket, you have broken the law. And we want to say, well, I only broke one aspect of the law. If you break one aspect, you break it all. And that's what the law was sent for, to know that we can't measure up. That there has to be another way. And that is through Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. If we'll stand this morning and have a song of invitation, I would just like to invite you to come and to give your life to Jesus Christ. And you may have given your life to Jesus Christ and you just want to grow closer to Him. Folks, grow closer to Christ today. Lord, we just come before You just thanking You for all that You have done for us, Lord. Thank You for Your gospel, Lord, for the grace that You have given to us, Lord. Lord, and let us not compromise with that gospel within our church. Lord, that we will hold strong to what You have said. Lord, that you can do great and mighty things in our life, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.